Evil empires over time have built their success on destroying the minds of the masses through propaganda. And the great deceiver is still doing the same thing today. So, with the flood of information in front of us today, and with the work that he's doing even in our own hearts today, how do you know what is propaganda and what is truth?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. If you're watching on YouTube, you should go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel and like this video. We've got podcasts coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. I'm glad you're here for this one. And let's get on into it.
Yeah. So as we have always said, our goal here is to apply truth to the realities of life.
Yep.
We'll discuss the scriptures, but we are quick at Vertical to make application of scriptures. We are to know truth, but we're to walk in truth. Yep. We're to believe, but we are to do. So today we're going to talk about a very relevant subject. We live in an age today with a lot of information, vast amounts of information. And the thing that's interesting is it's not just available information. It is information that is being thrust at us.
Yeah.
It's being forced upon you, whether you realize it or even want it.
Yeah.
It's happening to you.
Yeah. Because just real quick,
yeah.
Back in the day, I say back in the day like I was there. I wasn't. But it used to be that the news came on in the evening and you'd catch like an hour of the news.
Right.
And you'd be like, wow, that's what's going on.
Yeah. Or when the internet first became accessible, you could get on the internet and you had vast information available to you.
Uh-huh.
You can pick and choose what you wanted to learn. It was as though you had walked into a library and there was a lot of information and you could go look for the book or information that you wanted with the certainty that there was a lot there and I got to pick and choose.
Yeah.
And as much as people might like to think that that's what's happening today, that's not what's happening when you go to the internet through your browser or your search engine.
Yeah.
You are actually being force-fed information that they want you to have.
Yeah.
You think you're typing in a search word, and up is going to come all information about that topic.
Yeah.
Wrong. They are selectively choosing what you see about what you've searched for.
And this is not some conspiracy theory. No. This is literally just like documented.
Yes.
Hey, this is the truth.
Yeah. Admittedly, they've said it. It's searchable. It's you can see this. It's true.
Yeah.
And so we live in this age of high mass media as well. There's a lot of information out there.
Yeah.
And all of the mass media outlets are owned by someone and they are using their platform for their own purposes.
Yeah.
That's true for everyone.
Yeah.
Whether you're a Christian, not a Christian, whether you're of one political persuasion or the other, every platform is using their platform and media outlet to pass along information.
Yeah, that confirms their side.
Yeah. Also with social media, I know people like to think I posted on Facebook, therefore all of my friends saw all of my posts. It does not work that way.
No.
I know.
And you are not seeing.
You are not seeing all of your friends' posts. You are not seeing all the potential posts. You are seeing what your social media provider wants you to see.
Yeah. That will not even that, but like they are showing you what will keep you on the app, what will keep you on the website, because they benefit from you seeing more ads. They profit off of you being on their app longer or whatever it is. So they will continue. The algorithm will continue to show you things that make you go, what in the world? I got to see what's next. I got to see what's next.
Yeah.
I got to see what's next. So it's literally an addictive thing there. And that's where, again, talking about mass and vast information, we have too much information to know what to do with. And unlike back in the day where it was, hey, here's your newspaper that has only this much information. And here's your just 1 hour of news. Now back onto your life. Nowadays, it is around the clock.
Yes.
No matter what, you can spend literally 24 hours a day for 7 days a week and still be like, there's more new stuff and there's more new stuff.
I'm still
and
behind.
There's more new stuff. Yeah. And I'm still not even just a little behind. I'm way behind. There's still way more to catch up on to where it's overwhelming. And it's too much information to process.
Yeah. So a lot of information.
Yeah.
It's being forced upon you. It's being shaped as it comes to you. What you send out is being shaped and controlled. And you add to that the fact that we live in a very highly politically charged environment.
Yeah.
That impacts what goes out and what comes in as well.
Yeah. Especially you call it an election year as well.
Yes. So now put all that together and there is a word that describes the pushing of information to a group or even the limiting of information to a group to affect their thought patterns. There is a word for that and it is called propaganda.
Yeah.
So
there's the buzzword.
Yeah. That's the word of the day, but it's a very real thing that's happening. Yeah. You may not realize it. You may not have thought about it.
Yeah.
But our goal today will be to help you see that maybe once you understand a little bit deeper what's happening with propaganda, you will be more in tune to it happening on your media sources, your news outlets, but also even in your faith.
Exactly.
Because there is a line of propaganda that the enemy himself is pushing toward you. And if you recognize it, you can be stronger in your faith and not fall for the lies.
Yeah. And again, that's our goal today is to help instruct and teach discernment, judgment, weighing truth. What is reality? What do I need to go all in on? What do I not need to go all in on? All that, you know, discernment, judgment. That is something very unique to us as individuals that we have the ability to discern truth versus, you know, animals or whatever, you know, like we actually can, with our brains discern what is the truth, you know, and make decisions based on that rather than just like a sheep be led around. All right, you got to do this stuff. Here you go. This is all you can do. But we actually have the ability to think with our own brains.
In Christ, we have the ability to have wisdom and discernment over what is true and what is not.
Yes. So good. So, we'll just go with straight up what the Merriam-Webster's definition of propaganda is, and it is this: the spreading of ideas, information, or rumor for the purpose of helping or injuring an institution, a cause, or a person.
Yeah.
So, very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Another one here. Ideas, facts, or allegations spread deliberately to further one's cause or to damage an opposing cause, right? So, it can be used to build up your side and to tear down the other side.
Yeah.
Both being propaganda.
Right. And I think today it has more of a negative connotation to it.
Yeah.
Propaganda tends to have this feel of, okay, something is being done against me.
Yeah, something's being inflated that I'm supposed to try and believe.
Yeah, or deflated.
Or deflated, exactly.
Yeah.
But the word, very interestingly, actually comes from a religious context where the Catholic Church back in the 1600s used this word propaganda, talking about the faith, talking about spreading the faith.
Yeah.
Coming from the word propagate, coming from the idea of to spread widely, to spread naturally, this reproduction process, almost like born again kind of idea, reproduction, you know? And so it was meant for the missionaries of the Catholic Church that they would go and propagate the faith.
Yeah.
They would go and spread the faith. And that whole idea kind of just takes a crazy turn of propaganda.
Yeah.
From there.
Yeah. 19th century, that begins to change and the term begins to take on more of a negative connotation. And throughout history, propaganda has been used by political parties to control the thoughts of the masses. And this is where it starts to take up more of a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And so some examples of that, like in George Orwell's book 1984. There's a phrase that's used in there that he uses to describe what the party wanted the people to believe. And it was the phrase 2 + 2 = 5. And of course we know that's not true, but it became an example of the party's power or persuasion to control the thought of people because they wanted to manipulate, to control them, to deceive them, to actually get them to believe that 2 + 2 = 5. So through the use of propaganda, through posters, through stories, through lies, they would keep driving that lie until people believe that it was true. This is an example of propaganda. Now, it's the Nazi propaganda that would coin the phrase or have this idea that if you repeat a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. And so this is one of the tactics of propaganda is it's not to tell the truth. That's not the point. The point is to drive an agenda. And if it contains a lie, well, then just keep saying it long enough.
Yeah.
Keep telling it in compelling ways. Keep showing it. Keep telling emotional stories about it. Add some threat along with it, and you'll actually get people to believe a lie if you do it long enough.
Yeah.
So,
boy, that has some major impacts, not just politically here.
Yes.
But we're talking about throughout life.
Yeah. Spiritually.
Spiritually.
It's a tactic of the enemy.
Down to the core of who you are.
Yes.
If you repeat a lie long enough, it becomes the truth.
Yeah. I'm sure we all watch some media today and we think, how do they keep saying that? We all know that that's not true.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that it's true anymore.
Yeah.
Once you have moved into a cultural perspective and norm that disavows truth, it's all about your own agenda. And so you just keep saying your narrative and you say it long enough, the people will actually believe it. So Heather and I used to be big Star Trek fans and we first married the early years. We were watching Star Trek, The Next Generation. And the captain at that time is Jean-Luc Picard. And he's taken captive by a group who are evil and they imprison him. And they starve him, and they beat him, and they begin a process of trying to control his mind, to get him to break all of his own convictions and beliefs. Because if you can break a person of their own convictions and beliefs, then you can persuade them to do anything. And so they were attempting to do that, using a psychological mind control on him. Of course, it's a TV show, but they were often Star Trek had a lot of political leanings toward it. If you knew what to look for in it, anyway. Jean-Luc Picard is in this room, and it's a dark room. There's a light on him, and off in the distance, there are three spotlights shining toward him. He can see them. And they come in, this enemy force, and they ask him, say, how many lights do you see? And he said, three. And they said, no, there are four. And they would begin to beat him, and they would starve him, and they would keep him imprisoned in this room. And then the next day they'd come in, how many lights do you see? He'd say three. And they would say, no, there are four. And they would continue to beat him and starve him and keep him in this situation. And the point over the episode was to try to break down his own thoughts, his own convictions, his own beliefs, because they could get him to admit that there were four lights when there were only three. Then their propaganda worked, and the propaganda had a powerful impact because not only then would they just convince him to say that, he would be admitting defeat.
Yeah.
He would be admitting that he had become a slave of their way of thinking. It was such a sad episode to watch because here was the captain of the Starship Enterprise, you know, being broken down. And you can tell as the episode progresses, he's getting weaker and weaker, and he can just barely even say three, but he still says three. And there, you can tell there were times he even just wrestled with and would look at it, make sure maybe there are four lights there. And it was sad to watch it happen. But finally, of course, you know, the crew of the Enterprise comes through and they come in and rescue him and they take away this evil force and they come in, they're taking Jean-Luc Picard, his own men are coming in, they're pulling, he can't even walk. And they're taking him out of the room right past this man who was his guard, who just kept driving him and kept telling him there were four lights there. And as he gets close to him, and as they're taking him out, he stops and he looks over him. He can just barely even move his mouth. He can barely even hold himself up. And he says, there are only three lights. You know, so you couldn't break it. It was the Starship Enterprise, captain.
Yeah.
And but it was just this picture of this mind control, 2 + 2 = 5, 3,
yeah.
You know, there are three lights, no, there's four lights. And
yeah.
Sometimes it feels like that's happening today.
Exactly.
Like there's this mind game happening.
Yeah.
There's this force being forced upon us.
Exactly.
In the culture, politically, and even spiritually, as we're going to get to here, that wants to tell us, no, what you think is happening is not really happening.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is. What you think and what you see is actually not really happening in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to threaten you. I'm going to shame you. I'm going to bring pain to you and tell you you're crazy, actually, because what you're seeing isn't actually reality, you know? So, like, we're told, you know, information that we know is wrong, and it keeps being told, and it keeps being celebrated, and it keeps being like, yeah, this is the truth. This is the truth.
Right.
And again, it is just like that example, the Star Trek example. Those who are refusing to believe, refusing to agree, are the ones who are being mocked, persecuted, made little of, cast out, all the stuff, you know. And so
canceled.
Yeah, exactly. It makes you go, well, wow, what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm confused. You know, maybe the one who's saying the truth, who's saying actually what's in front of you, maybe I'm wrong. You know?
Yeah, and it's subtle. It starts off with just a little thought of, well, I mean, I guess everybody has their own truth.
Yeah, exactly.
You just bought it. You just let go of your own convictions at that point.
Exactly, yeah. And that's you just got to be so aware of what you are agreeing to.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about some characteristics then of propaganda. If it's coming at us today, then we need to be able to recognize it. And it's hard because it's so convincing, it's so loud, it's so repetitive. But how do we know what's propaganda? How do we know what's not? Because we need to know this socially, politically, but even spiritually. How do you recognize propaganda? I think the first thing you recognize with propaganda, and this is by their own strategy. If you Google propaganda, you will find examples and definitions of how propaganda works. And one of the things that you will find is that propaganda always plays toward the negative emotions, or what we might call, as Christians, we call the flesh, or the lower nature. So propaganda appeals to fear and worry and panic. It appeals to anger, to resentment, to hatred. It appeals to the victim status, and is designed intentionally to play at that and make you feel like you are being oppressed, to make you feel like you are you're losing. And if you don't join in on our party's persuasion, you're going to be taken over. You're going to be beat up. You're going to lose everything that you have. And so that is one of the ways that you recognize propaganda. Is what is it appealing to?
Yeah.
Is it appealing to confidence and hope and certainty? Or is it appealing to all of the things that make you crater inside and pulls out of you the worst of who you are? Does it make you hate? Does it make you panic? Does it make you have to reach for your bottle, your drug, your thing to soothe you? Because propaganda is designed to do that.
Yeah. Ooh. Again, I will also say, like, this propaganda and what we're saying has the political, the spiritual, the relational, you name it. Like, there's all the propaganda from different levels and all this stuff. Far left and far right politically. This is both sides. There's propaganda on both sides. Yep. The crazy side of conspiracy theory.
Yep.
The crazy side of, like, all of the left. Mm-hmm. Super woke
agenda.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, there's propaganda on both sides that try to build up and try to tear down, because this next one, the characteristic of propaganda being redefining what you have known as the truth, and redefining, hey, those people you used to think they're always telling the truth all the time, they actually always only lie. Right. That is redefining some terms there, you know.
Yeah.
Trustworthy? No, they're actually always lying.
Yes.
Well, whenever you buy into that, you have bought into propaganda.
Right.
Another one.
Yeah.
Classic. No, that's love. That's not a sin.
Right. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Propaganda right there.
Yes.
You know?
It is.
Oh, that's art. That's not just a drag book reading time and all that stuff. This is self-expression. Here,
yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Whenever you begin to agree to those statements, you have bought into propaganda. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have redefined terms. No, that's women's health care. That's not abortion.
Yes.
That is some propaganda that you have believed right there.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so
that's not a woman, that's a man.
Yeah, exactly. That is literally redefining like every bit of terms that you have used, or that are the truth, I should say, not have used, redefining terms that are the truth. The 2 + 2 = 5.
Correct.
You know, you used to say 2 + 2 = 4. You're wrong, though. 2 + 2 actually equals 5.
Yes.
And guess what? we're right, you're wrong, and we'll threat, shame, guilt, all this stuff, you know?
Yeah, which is the third characteristic of propaganda, is it always has with it some type of insult or attack to pull you away from what you've had as trusted sources.
Yes.
Yeah, you used to lean into 2 + 2 = 4. I'm sorry, all of that is wrong. You used to believe that there are only two genders. I'm sorry, that's wrong. Used to believe that marriage is a man and a woman. I'm sorry, that's wrong. Used to believe that the Bible alone has truth in it. I'm sorry, you're wrong. Yeah. And they'll insult and attack as a result of that to try to get you to be shaken in your foundations. No, that's not three lights. I don't care what you see, what you've thought, what you know of. You're wrong. Your mind is wrong. What you see is wrong. What we tell you is what is right. Whoo, that's propaganda.
That's
the core right there.
What we are the trusted source. Yeah. They aren't. We are.
We'll tell you.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what to believe.
Anytime you follow anyone that says, I am the trusted source, not this other person, you're going, hey, hold on, wait a second.
Yeah, something's wrong here.
Maybe we should be aware of what's
going on. It's propaganda.
Yeah.
It's propaganda.
Because we as the church, we as vertical church, we as pastors, we as leaders, we are not saying, I am always right. Trust us over anyone else. We are saying, hey, we're trusting in the Bible. Everything we teach is coming from the Bible. And so we are going to follow the Bible, which is history, multiple people, God working through their lives throughout way long time, different regions, different authors, different backgrounds. That's different than trust me in what I have to say in my understanding. And from what I've seen, here we go.
Yep.
That's propaganda.
That's propaganda.
So another one is this a characteristic of propaganda is that you are shamed for not using their language. Mm. So you're shamed for not saying 2 + 2 = 5.
Yep.
And so with that, you know, the idea of, oh, these are my pronouns, use them or I'm going to cancel you.
Yep.
And you will be the outcast. And I'm going to make a big deal about how terrible you are as an individual, right? As a human being. If you're for abortion, guess what? You actually hate women. You're not trying to save babies' lives. You hate women. That's what it is. Because listen to this terrible, sad story and all this kind of stuff, right? Shame being the great motivator for them. And that is their method to try to push the propaganda, right? Yeah. You're not for same-sex marriage. Oh, well, guess what? Shame on you. You're a bigot, you know?
Yep.
And so here's some name-calling for you, right? Yep. You're for control of the borders in the United States. Guess what? You're racist. Mm-hmm. You're a racist who doesn't want anyone else to experience America and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you like the American flag? Well, hello, you're a white supremacist, you know? You are the worst. You are a nationalist, and you are a Nazi, all this kind of stuff. It's like, what in the world? It's literally name calling is what they use to push across propaganda to make you feel bad about a stance that you have taken.
Yeah. It should be that's one of the indicators that right away your mind ought to just shut off the minute someone comes to you with shame. You just ought to discount whatever they say next.
Yes, exactly. Name calling.
That's what I've gotten to. Yes. You know, if you lead with guilt and shame, I'm out.
Yep.
I don't care what you say next.
Yep. Exactly.
I discount you because that's a tactic of the enemy. That's propaganda.
Yeah. And it's not, because in all of that, there's no conversation that's going to be had there.
Right.
Because you're having conversation with someone who's not even thinking for themselves.
No.
They are literally operating solely on shame.
That's true. Another thing that propaganda does is that they will keep repeating the lie, even though they know it's a lie.
Yes.
They know it's been proven to be a lie. It's not true, but they just keep repeating it because again, they stand on the presupposition that a lie repeated often enough will become the truth for people. They will eventually, if you just keep saying it louder, keep saying it more convincingly that it eventually, the repetition of your story, the repetition of the narrative will eventually cause people to cave and crater to it.
And it does to some people.
It does. That's the sad thing. To a lot of people.
Yeah. It works. Yep. That's the sad thing.
And out of fear, people will just give into it.
Yeah.
Especially you take a generation today that lives in fear and anxiety and they're medicated and they don't even, their full functioning mind is not even present in that moment. Yep. They'll go.
Exactly.
They go exactly with it.
Yep. It's almost like waves from the ocean that just keep coming in and coming in, and it's relentless. Yep. And it doesn't look like it's doing a whole lot of damage up front. Yep. But because the wave just keeps on coming and keeps on coming and keeps on coming, it will wear down whatever is in front of it.
Yep.
And that's what it is.
And their opposition, sadly, will try to spend the time defending that attack when you'll never win. If you're trying to shut down their light, you won't win.
Yeah, it's like,
speak the truth. That's what will get you victory ahead in this deal.
Exactly.
God honors truth, and he will shut down a lie in time.
Exactly. It's like trying to stop a wave from coming up from the oceans. Hey, guess what? You're actually not going to stop it. But what would be better is if you built a firm foundation.
Exactly.
That the wind that the wind and the waves cannot
Keep on coming, waves. I built my foundation on the rock.
Exactly. Ooh. So good.
Yep.
So the last one and the like most classic one for what propaganda is that they demand that you say everything that they say.
That's true.
Turn your brain off.
Yep.
And just be a vessel.
Yep.
Don't think, just say.
Just say what we say.
Be politically correct.
Four lights.
Yeah, exactly. Be culturally sensitive.
Yep.
Because you better be.
Use the pronouns.
Better be nice or else you're done.
Yep.
So it's threat. It's shame. It's pain. It's marginalization. It's, you know, like your job is on the line, literally, for people who, especially in corporate industries these days, if you are not doing whatever, you know, is being
whatever the mandate
required
is
of you, then guess what? You could literally lose your job. Yeah. And so, like, what do you do in those situations?
It's tough. It's tough. I've known lots of folks, though, who have chosen to stand, and in time, God has honored them and blessed them as a result of that.
Yes.
So this whole propaganda movement, it's not a new strategy. It's as old as the garden, and it's as old as history. Communist Russia has used this same strategy over the years. In fact, communism often labels those who disagree with them as the mentally ill. You are emotionally unstable, and there's been countless people who refused to go down the party line, and as a result, they were arrested or they were placed in asylums, and they lived out the remainder of their life in those places because they refused to say that there were four lights. They refused to go down the party line. I was reading a book by Erwin Lutzer called No Reason to Hide, which is a great book. In it, he talks about propaganda, and he quotes a man named Theodore Dalrymple, who was a prison physician and a critic in a cultural critic in England. His father was a communist, and so Theodore wrote and said, "Political correctness is communist propaganda." He says, "In my study of communist studies, I came to the conclusion that the purpose of communist propaganda was not to persuade or convince, not to inform, but to humiliate. And therefore, the less it corresponded to reality, the better. When people are forced to remain silent when they are being told the most obvious lies, or even worse, when they are forced to repeat the lies themselves, they lose once and for all their sense of probity." They lose their ability to perceive what's right. They lose their convictions. They lose their stance. They lose their strength. They lose their courage. They lose their boldness. And he said, "A society of emasculated liars is easy to control."
Boy, what a line.
And that's what we're watching today.
Emasculated liars.
We're watching a culture with cultural leaders and shapers attempting to emasculate the people, the masses, and to just call them to follow along in line. Repeat the party line. Say what's different than what you've always said. Repeat the line. There are four lights. That is a man. That is women's health care. Say all the things that we say it is. It doesn't matter what truth is or what you've believed. You say what we say it is. And so he finishes that statement. He says, "I think if you examine political correctness, it has the same effect and is intended to." So he's pointing out that this whole idea of call to be politically correct is really nothing more than communist propaganda.
Ooh. It's crazy. I mean, that line, "a society of emasculated liars is easy to control." I mean, that is just like, that's a wild line right there. It instantly makes me think of the Joshua 1:9 passage that says, "Be strong and courageous," you know, like stand firm, all of this idea. This
true.
Literally, be strong, be courageous, because that is not someone that's easy to control, you know?
I was just thinking of this idea that when you make a person say something that's not true, that creates a brain break inside.
Yep.
It creates a mental breakdown
because
they know they've just gone against not just their conscience, they've gone against their perceptions of reality.
Yeah.
And then I start thinking about the number of people who transgender, sex change, all down that line, who also struggle with mental illness. The rate of suicide among those people, because what they've done is they've been told a lie and they've believed something that is counter to what they know is reality. And you cause a break inside people. So when that happens, they're powerless, they're weak, and what a sad spot. I mean, you sense the compassion of Jesus for people in those situations to no longer be enslaved to lies, but to wake up into the truth.
Man, so all that stuff has immediate application to us and the politically charged environment that we're in and the totally saturated media culture that we are in. Mm-hmm. So we have to ask the question, what do we do with the propaganda that we are facing, have faced, will face? How do we discern? How do we stand firm? How do we not be a society of emasculated liars that are literally just being pushed and shoved into places that we shouldn't be?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, from what we've talked about already, I think we can gain some points out of this. The first, I think, is you have to limit and discern where you turn for information today.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that there was a lot of trusted sources.
Yeah. Turn on the evening news.
Yeah. You're like, I remember sitting with my parents at the dinner table listening to Walter Cronkite, you know, and listening to the Channel 5 news. And you recognize those people as trusted parts of your family, basically. Yeah. You know, they were there. But that's not the case anymore. There's an agenda. There's a movement. There's a push. And you can't always know anymore that the people you trusted are to be trusted. Because everybody has a political motivation. Everybody has a motivation of some kind.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter which side you're on. So the question is not, I'm looking for the neutral side. There is no neutral side. There never has been.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for the side that's going to align with truth is really what I'm looking for. So I say limit and discern where you turn for information first. Second, make sure that you have an input of truth that's greater than your media input in your life. Make sure that you're taking time to spend time in God's word and building your foundation. If you're not building a foundation on truth, then those waves of the media is going to destroy you. It'll tear your house down.
Yeah.
If you're building your life on what the media is telling you, then your house is going to be torn down. Yeah, you're done. You already know this. But if you're building your house on the foundation of truth, then when the waves of media, social media, input around you come crashing against you, you're immovable. You're not changed. And then, out of conviction, get to this place where you refuse to say what they say. Don't repeat it. Have the same.
Yes.
I keep going back to my Star Trek episode here, but, you know, just say, I'm not going to say there's four lights. I don't care how many times you tell me there's four lights. I'm not going to say that. I refuse to let my mouth say what you tell me to say.
And I think just to literally, as a general rule of thumb, I would almost say everywhere in your life, don't just be a parrot.
Exactly.
Like, yes, obviously we want you to be in agreement and saying the things the Bible says and all this stuff, but say it where it sinks into who you are. Don't just copy some lines that we say and put them into your life and be like, all right, I'm calling it good because I'm saying the things that,
you go search the scriptures.
Exactly.
And you say it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even if you have a trusted source on X, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you're like, man, this isn't the mainstream media. This is like my own thing. And now I'm just going to copy everything they say. It's like, hey, guess what? You're still just literally copy paste, not thinking for yourself, just in a different vein.
Yep.
You know that. So our goal is freedom, independence, standing firm, standing strong, standing courageous in the truth, you know, not just in what someone else has to say opposed to whatever political ideology. You're
in, exactly. And so refuse to say what they say and then choose to say what God says. It may make you stand out in a crowd. So what? Yes, exactly. It may make you look different than everyone else. That's okay.
Exactly.
Say what God says. Keep saying three lights.
Yeah.
There are only three lights. Keep saying the truth.
Yeah.
For your sake, for your conviction's sake, for your faith's sake, faith speaks and faith says the truth. And for the sake of others around you, others need to hear that. The church, one of its valuable points is that you gather together to say the same thing and to encourage one another. And you speak the truth to one another. There's power in hearing someone else say the truth. You're like, okay, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not alone in this deal. So all of this, again, it has implications to social issues, to political issues. But where we're headed today really is where we're going next, is that there's an enemy today, an evil enemy, who is also speaking propaganda to you. I'm not talking about some media outlet. I'm talking about Satan, the great deceiver himself. Yeah. And he is spreading lies. He is spreading propaganda to you. And the things we've talked about already fit now into this context. So I think we've set the stage here for this moment, where now we're going to talk about, how do I recognize the enemy's propaganda into my life, and how do I shut that down? Because I don't want to agree with him, because, oh, he's got a lie he wants to tell you, and he wants you to not just hear him say it. He actually wants you to say it. He wants you to say what he says. So how do you know what's from him and what's not? Same thing we talked about earlier. Number one, the enemy is going to appeal to your flesh, to the lower parts of you. He's going to appeal to your fear, your anxiety, your worry, and your panic. That's what he's aimed at. That's why the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So if you are all of a sudden filled with fear, anxiety, worry, and panic, you can know that's not from God.
Exactly.
That is another spirit. That is the propaganda line coming at you. He always appeals to desperation, to lust, and to greed. Mm-hmm. I got to have it. I got to have it now. I got to take it. If I don't get this, something terrible is going to happen to me.
Yeah.
That's from the enemy. That's propaganda at its finest. The enemy also will appeal to anger and resentment, hatred. Stir all of those up in you. And that's how you know this is propaganda. The scripture tells us in 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. I think it's interesting that it says spirit and spirits there. It didn't say do not believe every word. It said do not believe every spirit. So you have to test the essence of what's being said to you. What is the spirit of it? If it's propaganda comes at you.
Core,
propaganda comes at you in the spirit of creating fear and anxiety and worry and panic. Propaganda comes at you to create desperation. Propaganda comes at you to create hatred within you. So don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world and they come with that spirit. That's how you recognize them.
Yeah.
Mm. Another thing the enemy does with his attacks is he will insult you.
Yep.
The propaganda of the enemy wants to keep attacking you with insults. You're a worthless sinner. You're never righteous, and you're never going to be. You're shameful. You're wicked. You don't have what it takes to trust God. You don't have the right to worship God. Yep. Those are all attacks.
Yep.
Those are from the father of lies. Those are from the accuser of the brethren. And they are designed to totally dismantle your ability to think.
Yep.
It's the same as being beat down and told there are four lights.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so he's telling you you're worthless. You can't trust God.
Yeah.
You don't deserve to worship God.
Yep.
God's not ever going to bless your life.
Yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah. You've done too much. You've gone too far.
Yep.
You're unsavable. You're irredeemable.
Yep. That's propaganda.
Yeah.
That is propaganda from Satan. And Jesus talked about those who spread those propaganda and lies. He said in John 8:44, of those men, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is insistent on dragging you down. He's not going to speak truth. He has no truth in him, but he'll keep repeating the lie over and over again until you get to the place where you actually say it. That's what he wants. He don't want to just keep telling you accusations and lies. He actually wants you to say it, because when you say it, you seal it.
Yeah, exactly.
You signify you've bought it. And he wants you to say it. He wants you to say, I am worthless. I am shameful. I am wicked. I have no ability to trust God. I have no right to worship God. I should just walk away. I should just leave the faith. That's what he wants to do.
That I think right there is the biggest, most common thing that we see, because this is the external. This is where it gets external. The other ones are internal, the insults and attacks. That's in your mind. That's in your spirit. That's like in your emotions and in, you know, the appeal, the temptation to buy into the lie. Those are all internal. You don't see that, but the external, whenever you get to hear, it's the solidifying factor of what has gone on internally. The verbal confession and people kind of play it off, but like the saying, oh, I suck. Oh, I'm the worst. Yep. Oh, I'm probably wrong, and then you explain something and then you downplay it. No, that's not good. That's not me. I'm wrong. I've never got anything right. And all this stuff. Those are all just verbal confessions of
propaganda.
Of propaganda, that the lies that have come out to you.
Yep.
And you have agreed with them, and now you are sealing, like you are owning it. You're taking it on as, this is who I am.
Yep.
And it's not the truth. You
Correct.
Know? It is the, I'm seeing four lights rather than I'm seeing three.
Yep. It's true. And then his goal is to silence you, to defeat you, and to make you a slave. Just to get you to say, well, I guess I don't know what I'm talking about. I guess I am foolish. I guess I have no power.
Because that's what it is. Whenever you have verbally confessed it, it's like Satan can go, whew, all right, well, hands off.
Yeah.
I'm done. You've taken the reins now on this. You're going to run with this idea. Yeah. I don't have to attack anymore because you bought it.
And whatever he says after that moment, you'll believe it as well.
Yeah.
If he convinced you on that one thing, the most absurd reality, and you bought it, you said it, you'll believe anything now.
Exactly. And then the other most ridiculous part is, you're going to say that stuff, and then you're going to have the enemy, the thief, the liar, all this stuff point out and accuse you. Oh, man, look how terrible you are for saying all this stuff. Yep. Guilt and shame back on you for agreeing to the things that I told you in the first place.
That's true.
You know? Like the ultimate accuser, gaslighter, all of the stuff.
It's true. The Bible tells us that in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's his goal, is to bring everyone into slavery and subjection.
Yeah.
So how do you know whether it's propaganda or truth, whether it's spiritual or political? One final passage here from James chapter 3. James writes and says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. It's sensual and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Propaganda will always appeal to and produce tension, unrest, hatred, greed, and confusion every time. That's what the propaganda is designed to do. But truth will produce in you purity first. Wisdom that comes from above is first pure. It'll produce righteousness in you, peace within you, faith, purpose, a willingness to yield to God, a willingness to lead others into freedom, a desire for that. So what is the message you're believing? What does it produce in you?
Test the fruit always.
Yeah, test it. Test what's coming out of your own life. Test the thoughts that are coming from you. Test the emotions that are coming from you. Test the reality of what's coming out of your life. You can know by the fruit that comes out of it whether the seed was from propaganda or from truth.
So good.
Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Free.
So in a day and time today, when there's so much information, look for what's true and turn it up. Look for what's true and show it off and say it.
Yep.
And if it's propaganda, turn it off. If it's propaganda, shut it down and refuse to ever repeat it. It's the day, it's the time for the church to wake up, speak the truth, shut down propaganda.
So good.
There's a culture that's waiting for the truth to rise up.
Woo. Come on.
Woo. You can tell this is a passionate spot for us to think about truth and people being set free. So hope it's been helpful for you today. Come join us at Vertical, see what God's doing. People truly are being set free. Lives are being changed. Marriages being restored, reconciled. Individuals being set free from long-term addictions. Our community is being changed because of the presence of Christ here in this community. So thanks for joining us. Keep lifting Him up and living Him out.